So we are good and awake now and appreciative of a couple things. The first is Cameron's spiritual gift of tractor beam focus. Boy, if you let it get away from you, it will get away from you. So we appreciate that spiritual gift. It may not be, but it should. The second thing that we're grateful for this morning is that we're in stewardship season. And I am so blessed, at least personally, that we're not about the mundane and frankly boring stewardship process of coming up with a number and presenting it to the congregation, and let's say, let's just get jiggy with excitement about paying the light bill and keeping the folks who do the yard work paid and all that kind of stuff. But rather, we are in a stewardship focus, kind of like Cameron's laser beam focus, understanding that stewardship is really a way of life, if we're honest. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, where we have the possibility of being so focused on God's goodness towards us in the person of Christ that we are blessed to respond with our time, our talents, and our treasures, of which money is a part. So this morning we're going to be looking at Paul's kind of three-part vignette, who you were, who you are, and who you are becoming in the person of Jesus Christ. Join me in prayer. Father, we're blessed to be able to gather together this morning, to be gathered together as the organic body of Christ, understanding as brothers and sisters in Christ that we are uniquely gifted and brought together, energized and empowered to be the body of Christ in this place and in this time. And we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would open our hearts and minds as the scriptures are read, that we would hear with joy what you would say to us in that deepest and truest place within our heart. May it be to your glory and our joy, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10. And as always, as I read, I invite you to listen for God's word to you. It's written. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace that you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. May God add his blessings to the hearing and to the heeding of his holy word. Amen. I don't know if you had a chance to go to the Water Mission presentation yesterday, but Henry was telling me about it briefly over at the Sunday school gathering. I think we had about two buses, and I can just see in my mind's eye how that must work. You herd the cats and get them to where they need to be, and you start at section one, and then from there, collectively, kind of comprehensively, you move from there to the next place of explanation and understanding, but you don't stay there long before you move as a group to the third and final place of comprehensive understanding about what they do, you know, at Waterworks. So that's the basis for what we'll talk about this morning. Here's Paul with a tour group, and they begin at the place of who you were. You with me? And it's easy for Paul to remind the people in Ephesus who they were because they hadn't been who they are very long. They hadn't been like us growing up with parents and grandparents who were constantly pouring into us the gospel, constantly pointing out the Spirit at work, constantly reminding and undergirding that God was in our midst doing amazing things. With me? Paul says this. He says, you who were dead in Christ. It's kindly offensive, isn't it? I mean, when we hear that as believers and those who have been believers for a while, we're a little bit sickened in our heart, if you will, to think back then when we were dead in our sin and trespasses, as Paul is reminding the people of Ephesus. You with me? I mean, what do you mean exactly dead? Dude, do I look dead to you? No, but we wish you would act a little more like it and calm down. Just calm down. But we're not dead. I mean, here we are. So what exactly was Paul talking about? Well, he said, dead in sin and trespasses. Yeah, what's worse than being dead? It's being alive and being dead. Physically, we're animated, but our intellect and our emotions are dead, even though we are alive. I guess it'd be like being an extra in Walking Dead. You know, all they breathe funny, and all they think about is, kind of like me, just eating. But they walk around. They're alive, but emotionally, intellectually, they're dead, and that's all they do is just kind of wander around. That's what Paul was saying. Listen, remember back when you were who you were. Back when you were dead in sin and trespasses. End of vignette. Now we are here, we understand who we were. We're going to bring the best of who we were forward, but we're not staying there. Paul says, come with me. Please, pick your papers. Come with me. We're going over to section 2. Now they're at a place of different understanding. Who you were now becomes who you are in the person of Jesus Christ. And this gets a little bit tricky because we think that the works we do will earn God's grace, not demonstrate the result of God's grace. We're afraid that by our work, we can earn what God wants to give to us freely. You with me? And Paul says, no, that's actually not the way it works. I was looking on Facebook or Instagram or one of those things, and I saw a picture of Savannah. And I remember two things. The first was on NPR, Mayor Riley recalling a statement that he hated deeply. It was the mayor of Savannah who said, oh, if you like Charleston, you'll love Savannah. That's free. I'm not going to charge you for that. But the other thing I remember was in the background of the picture was a statue, and I thought, golly, I zoomed in all by myself. And I thought, that looks like John Wesley, and it was John Wesley. I thought, oh my gosh, church history came flooding back into my soul. John Wesley's first outreach mission was to Savannah, Georgia. And it was a miserable failure. He'd fallen in love with this lady named Sophie Hopke. And Sophie didn't, she just, you know how women are. They if they would, I'm teasing. Seriously, I am teasing. I don't want to be a line at the door with the women. Josh, you'll help me with that. But she just wouldn't behave. And early in Savannah, you got a ticket for communion, and when you didn't behave, your ticket for communion was taken back. No communion for you. And the people of Savannah didn't appreciate that. And they told John, why don't you go back to where you came from? And they put him on a ship, a miserable failure. He would later write in his diary, the very people I went to save showed me the misery of my own being lost on the way back. 2 years later, he was having coffee with a Moravian pastor, Peter Bowler, and the food buzz was well underway, and they were sitting around the fire. And Wesley noticed from Reverend Bowler this calm, this peace, this sense of all is wellness that seemed to emanate from his interior to his exterior. And Reverend Bowler noticed that it was not present in Mr. Wesley. And so he asked him a personal question. He said, brother, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. He said, how is it with your soul? And Wesley was confused. He had no idea what he was talking about. He understood how to be at work, but he did not enter into receiving that gift of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? It was simply works. To John Wesley. Wesley knew something about work. He'd rise every morning when he was in Oxford at the Holy Club with five or six other guys. They'd rise at 4 o'clock in the morning, and for the first 2 hours they'd be in prayer. Then they'd study scripture for 3 hours in both Hebrew and Greek. And I thought, whammo, this is cool. You know what I'm going to do? Josh doesn't know it yet, but he's going to help me draw up a legal document, and everyone's going to sign it. And for the next 30 days, we're all going to rise at 4 o'clock. And for the first 2 hours, we're going to read the scripture. And for the next 3 hours, we're going to study the scripture in the original, whatever. And so Mr. Wesley knew something about work, but it wasn't quite right in his soul. He was contemplating and understanding who he was. And he was stuck there because he had not entered into the who he is now by receiving that gift of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So that's the end of vignette number two. Hey, y'all, look, remember who you were? Yeah, it's very distasteful. Thank you. We've been believers for quite a while. But think about who you were back when you were dead in your sin and trespasses. Okay, got it. We understand that. Thank you, Paul, for not leaving us there and moving us into section two of our little faith vignette here. Remembering who we were, we understand the beauty of God's grace and are ready to receive it. And we do. And Paul makes these outrageous comments, doesn't he? The old has passed away. The new has come. Forgetting what lies behind, I'm going to bring the best of that forward and press on forward. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But Paul doesn't leave us there. And God doesn't leave us in who we are. 2017's not far away. And, you know, our vision team has been meeting, and people say, yeah, we've been hearing about it. But where's the pudding? Talk to us about the vision for 2017. I can tell you this, we'll underdream it. Oh my gosh. We've already underdreamed it. It's so dynamic when you think about the people that God is adding to James Island Presbyterian Church. The vision we had yesterday is different because we've got more people who've just joined the church. Are you with me? I can tell you it will be exciting, and that there is a place for everybody's gifts and graces and strengths. A place for everybody in the who we are becoming. And that's incredibly important. That says something to each of us individually and as a community of faith. Before we were created as God's workmanship, the workmanship of God, God had prepared works for us to be about individually and as a community of faith. Are you with me? That's 2017. What's it going to look like? The best I can say is I'm not sure. But it'll be dynamic. It'll be unbelievable. We'll be looking at ministries and thinking in our discernment, we don't need to do that anymore, and we won't do it. Or there's something that needs to be happening that isn't. By grace through faith, we'll step into it and just begin doing it. It'll be a way for us to plan into the future and be about those works, working with God to fulfill those works that God has planned for us. You with me? As his workmanship. Isn't that cool? So we have a choice. We have a choice moving into the time ahead. It reminds me of the NASA satellite back in 1972. You remember Pioneer 10? We got any techies in our midst? Pioneer 10 was a little tiny, in comparison, a satellite that was shot out into space with the intention of looking at Jupiter. By radio waves, it was going to send back data about the atmosphere of Jupiter, about the asteroid belt and the gravitational pull and all kinds of things. And that's the only thing the engineers designed it to do. Because to this point, we hadn't even reached Mars yet. Our children and grandchildren are going to be vacationing on Mars. What are you doing? I think we'll do Mars for a week. What are you doing? To this point, we hadn't even reached Mars. Well, the thing that they did not anticipate about this little experiment was that Jupiter got caught up, Pioneer 10 got caught up in Jupiter's gravitational pull, and it kind of slingshotted at 10 times the speed almost all the way out to the edge of the solar system as we know it. Can you imagine that? A billion miles past Saturn, 2 billion miles past Uranus, 3 billion miles past Neptune, 4 billion Pluto, in 1997, 25 years after, and 6 billion miles from the sun, it continued to send back radio beams. So what? It wasn't engineered to do that. It was an 8-watt transmitter that was sending radio waves 9 hours back to Earth, 7 billion miles out into space. The engineers had underdreamed it. What's an 8-watt light look like? How many of you walk to the kitchen or the bathroom out of a stone cold sleep at night? And you don't break your toes off of your feet because of a little nightlight in the bottom outlet? That's an 8-watt outlet light. Can you imagine that? They had underdreamed, even the engineers, what that satellite would do. I can tell you this about our vision. We've already underdreamed it. A bunch of 8-watt people, can you imagine? The engineers can't even conceive. No one can conceive. The eyes haven't seen, the ears heard, the mind hasn't conceived what God is going to do for us, through us, we as His workmanship created for the good works. Are you with me? It's unbelievable to think about. And we will underdream it. The engineers can't conceive it. End of story. Although there's one creator, one master engineer who sees it all and issues us the invitation, although he could do it all by himself without any of our help, and issues us the invitation individually and as the people of God to join him in that work. We are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he has prepared for us to do. Won't it be exciting? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.